A very good evening to all the brothers and sisters in Christ. By God's grace, we are all gathered once again to study His wonderful words of life. Last few weeks, we've been studying the third chapter of the sixth volume, The Call of the New Creation. And where we studied the subheading called as Christ, our justification. And we studied the meaning of the word justification. What actually it means, you see, to bring something to perfection, that thing which is become imperfect, to bring back to perfection, that is called as justification. So we have studied till page number 102. So we'll continue from page number 102. Okay, Brother Joel, can you read the paragraph, Brother?
Okay, brother. But now we are especially considering the new creation and what step God has taken for the justification of this little class of humanity whom He has called to the divine nature and glory and immortality. These, as well as the world, need justification, because by the nature, children of wrath, even as others, because as God could not deal with the world while under sentence of death as sinners, neither could He deal on that basis with those whom He calls to be of the new creation. If the world must be justified, brought to perfection before God can again be in harmony with them, how could he fellowship with the church except her to join heirship with His Son? Unless first justified, it must be conceded that justification is a necessary prerequisite to our becoming new creatures. But how can justification be effected for us? Must we be restored to absolute, actual perfection, physically, mentally, morally? We answer, no, God has not provided for us such an actual justification, but He has provided a justification of another kind, which in the scriptures is designated justification by faith, not an actual justification, but nevertheless vital. God agrees that all those who during this period of the continuance of the reign of sin and death shall hear the message of His grace and mercy through Christ, and shall come so into accord with the wisdom from above that they will confess their wrong condition, and believing the Lord's message will surrender themselves to Him, repenting of sin, and so far as possible make restitution for their wrong. These, instead of returning to actual human perfection, He will reckon as having their blemishes covered with Christ's merit. In dealing with them, He will reckon them just or right, justifying them through faith.
Thank you, brother. So, in this paragraph, you see, Brother Russell tries to explain how justification by faith is provided to the new creation. See, last week, I mean, the previous to that week, we studied that justification means to bringing back something to perfection. Okay. We read in the Bible that God's scale of, you see, justice demands exact perfection. And without perfection, He's not going to deal with any of the sinners. So, in that way, How can God deal with the sinners like us? You see, when we are not justified, when we are still condemned in sin, when we have fallen in sin, how does God make this provision so that he may deal with the new creations? You see, so what provision God has made? If you see, God knew very well that until Christ returns the second time and is going to restore each and every mankind back to original perfection, none of the mankind can stand before him perfectly. So, for human beings to stand before him perfectly, it will take the entire 1,000 years. So, God knew this one, that this is going to happen at a very late time. It is not going to happen instantaneously as the person has resurrected from the dead. So, in this plan, God determined and planned it in such a way that before the actual justification, you see, that is going to happen in 1,000 years, he decided to justify few of the people beforehand. How? You see, that was by faith. And that is called in the scriptures as justification by faith. That means we will still remain as sinners. So nothing of our perfection or imperfection will change. It will remain the same thing. But yet, God would consider us as perfect based on what? Based on only our faith. So let us read a few scriptures. Romans 5:1. Who can read? Aman brother? Romans 5:1.
Okay, brother.
Romans 5th chapter,
Romans.
first verse, brother.
Okay. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
You see, being justified by faith, we are peace with God by faith. You see, this is all only by faith. Because we trust in our Master, in his ransom sacrifice, you see, that is for faith. You see, and God is actually the rewarder of faith. In the book of Hebrews, we see about faith now. You see, read verse Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. 1 minute. Verse 1 and 2. Can somebody read?
Okay, brother. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Okay,
For
now
by it the continuing, brother.
read.
For by it the elders obtain a good report.
Okay, now read verse 6, sister. Sixth verse.
But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Yes, you see, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him by faith. So we don't see God. We haven't seen God. We can't see God in our flesh. But yet, we believe that there is a creator who is, you see, overlooking all the affairs of this world, and he's got a beautiful plan. He's going everything as per his plan. So this we believe only by faith. And because of this faith, God considers us that we are no more sinners. You see, Let us read one more verse, Romans 1st chapter 17th verse. Romans 1:17. Anybody can read? Okay, Munaster, can you read?
Romans 1:17, brother.
Yes, it's correct.
For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith.
You see, the just shall live by faith. What do you mean by just? A justified one. He will live by his faith. So until and unless he has faith on the ransom sacrifice, he will continue in his justification. So once he loses the faith, he will lose his justification. See, this was the verse which was a very turning point in the life of Martin Luther. We read, no? Seven angels. We read about the sixth angel, Martin Luther. You see, Martin Luther was the one who, because of this verse, he understood that we are going to live by faith, not by our works. Because none of our works will get our justification before God. The Bible says, no, you see, because we trust in our Jesus Christ, what has God given us? God has given us the robe of righteousness. You see, he has given us a white robe of righteousness, Revelation 19:8. You see, because of that robe, we're able to have access to the throne of grace and mercy. So these all things, giving us the robe of righteousness, wearing the white robe, cleaning and making it neat, maintaining it neat, this is all not a thing that can be outwardly seen. This is all only by faith. And this justification by faith is applicable to whom? It is applicable to those persons who are repented of their sin. You see, who turn back to God and who heartfully or cheerfully, you see, they overcome all the sinful abilities. You see, there are a lot of things, no? A lot of wrongs, a lot of sinful activities. Who try to, you see, walk in faith? It is applicable only to those people. Hence, our justification is justification by faith. So, based on faith, the new creation today is having a stand before God. Okay, next paragraph. Next paragraph, Gopal brother, can you read?
Not too, brother. This reckon justification or justification by faith holds good so long as the faith continues and is backed by endeavors to do the Lord's will. If faith and obedience cease, at once the justification ceases to be imputed. But faith justification does not cease as the sanctification work progresses. It continues with us as new creatures, not only covering us from the Adamic condemnation, but from all the weaknesses and imperfections of word, thought, and deed, which are ours through the weaknesses of the flesh, through heredity, not willful. It continues thus to cover the Lord's people as the new creatures, even to the end of the journey, through all the testings and trials necessary to them as candidates for and probationary members of the new creation. It is in line with this that the Apostle declares, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Notwithstanding the fact that the treasure of the new nature is in an earthen vessels, and that on this account there are continually unwilling blemishes, the list of which would condemn us as unworthy of the rewards of life everlasting on any plane, whereby were they not covered by the merits of our wedding garment, the robe of Christ's righteousnesses, our imputed justification by faith. We will need this justification, and it will continue to be our robe so long as we abide in Christ and are still in the flesh. But it will cease completely when our trial ends in our acceptance as overcomers and we are granted a share in the first resurrection. As the apostle explains, it is sown in corruption, dishonor, and weakness, but it will be raised in incorruption, in power, in glory, in full likeness to our Lord. The quickening spirit, who is the express image of Father's person, when that perfection shall have been attained there, there will no longer be a necessity for an imputed righteousness, because we will then be actually righteous, actually perfect. It matters not that the perfection of the new creation will be on a higher plane than that of the world. That is, so far as the justification is concerned, it matters not. Those who will receive God's grace and restitution to human nature in perfection will be just or perfect when that work is completed. But perfect or right on a lower than a spirit plane, those now called to the divine nature and justified by faith in advance, so as to permit their call and testing as sons of God, will not be actually justified or perfected until in the first resurrection they attain that fullness of life and perfection in which there will be nothing of the present imperfection in any particular, the perfection now only reckoned or imputed to them.
Thank you, Brother. So, in this paragraph, Brother Russell deals with the question, you see, how long does our, you see, reckoned justification will stay? You see, how long will it stay? You see, we just now saw that we are justified by faith. So how long God considers that we are justified in his sight? There should be some condition, no? What is the condition? Read the scriptures, you see, Romans 8th chapter. Romans 8th chapter, verse 1. Okay, who can read? Amar brother?
Okay, brother. Romans 1. Romans 8, one. Verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnations to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit.
You see? So this, you see, justification by faith, that means we are no more considered as sinners in God's sight. It is applicable till when? You see, this verse clearly says, it is only applicable to those who walk not after the flesh, but walk after the spirit. What is this meaning of walking after the flesh? You see, before coming to the truth, you see, we were living in a world, you see, where lot of activities we used to do, you see, where God used to consider sinners, things which were displeasing to God. You see, but after coming to Christ, all these things are covered. You see, what things are covered? Not the things which we intentionally do. Those things are not covered with this robe of righteousness. The things which we, by heredity, you see, which is there in us, we sin, those things are covered by the merit of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, hence, God has given us this robe of righteousness. Let us read a few scriptures. Isaiah 64, 6. Isaiah 64, 6. Joel brother, can you read? Okay, Joel brother is not okay. Munaster, can you read Isaiah 64, 6?
Okay, brother. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away.
You see, all our unclean things are like filthy rags, it seems. All our works of righteousness. What is this works of righteousness? You see, try to please God and try to get His approval, His acknowledgement, His favor. These things, trying to be just with God, trying to be good with God, trying to be, you see, honorable, respectable with God. You see, so many people, so many things they do, no? You see? Huh? So Christians also they do the thing that by giving tithes, 10% of our income, we are pleasing God. You see? Similarly, in so many religions, they do so many religious activities. Why? Because they want to please God. Among Christians also, they give food for the poor, give the clothes for the poor, they go for the jail ministry, visit the prisoners, you see, build orphanages, build a home for the aged. Lot of social activities they do. Why? Because they think by doing such good things, they can get the favor of God, they can get the blessings of God. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says that all this, our works of righteousness, whatever we are trying to please God, it is all considered as filth. You see, it is all filthy rags, it seems. You see, it faded away like a leaf. Now, originally, who wore the cloth of leaf? Originally, who wore cloths that were made of leaf? Do you remember anybody wearing a cloth made of leaf in the Bible? Anyone?
Adam and Eve.
Yes, Adam and Eve. When? You see, in Garden of Eden. When did they wear it? Did they wear it before the sin or after the sin?
After the sin.
After the sin, very good. Now, which is the leaf that they used to cover themselves? Which leaf? Which leaf? Huh? Okay, read Genesis 3:7. Genesis 3:7. Okay, Joel, brother, read.
Then the eyes of both of them were upon, and they realized they were naked, so they swag fig leaves together and made covering for themselves.
You see, what was the leaf that they used? Out of which tree? Out of which tree?
Fig.
Fig. Fig tree. Now, fig tree means what in the Bible? Fig tree means what? What is the meaning of fig tree? We studied in the basic class, no? Jesus said, behold the fig tree. You see?
Nation of Israel.
Nation of Israel. You see, this is what mankind is doing. You see? So, here Adam and Eve, they tried to protect themselves with the fig leaves. But did that give justification? Were they justified before God? Rather be naked before God, that was much more better than covering themselves with his fig leaves. So what did God do? You see, how much days will the leaf stay? As it gets dry, you see, it withers off. So you can't wear a permanent cloth made up of leaf. So hence God made a cloth that is made out of a slaughter, of a sacrifice of a, you see, lamb. You see, they were given, you see, leather, you see, cloth. So that is how our righteousness, all the good things, whatever we do, it is all filthy rags. Similarly, to be the nation of Israel, whatever the nation of Israel does to cover mankind, to please mankind, you see, to be better before God, you see, to cover the mankind, to help mankind, it is all filthy rags. It doesn't give standing before God. To have the standing before God, you need the sacrifice of what? You see? Sacrifice of, you see, made with the skin. Read Genesis 3:21. There only. Read Genesis 3:21. Romister, can you read Genesis 3:21?
321, brother. Okay, on to Adam. Adam also and to his wife did the Lord and make coats of skin and clothed them.
You see, made coats of skin and clothed them. Coats of skin. Skin means what? You see, that means a sacrifice has to be given there. Now, what was the sacrifice that was given there? You see, it would be none other than a lamb. You see, so that skin was given to Adam and they wore it permanently. You see, that would never wither away. Similarly, God justifies us. Where is given? Now read Isaiah 61:10. Isaiah 61:10. Ashish brother, can you read brother? Isaiah 61:10. Oh, you're outside. Okay. Somebody else who can read. Gopal brother or Amar brother?
Okay, brother, I'll read.
Okay.
I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garment of the salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom taketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with the jewels.
Very good, sir. You see, he has clothed me with the garment of salvation, robe of righteousness. You see, not our good works. It is because of the Christ, robe of righteousness, that we have standing, you see, before God. It says, it is like a bridegroom decketh himself with the ornaments. You see, bride and the bridegroom, you see. So bride, who is the bride? The church. The bridegroom is Lord Jesus Christ. So he has clothed us, you see. This wedding garment, we should always be wearing. So, what does this wedding garment, this robe of righteousness cover, if you see? It covers our, you see, unintentional, you see, blemishes. Unintentional sins. Unintentional, you see, wrongdoings. Not willful things, you see. Hence, we are justified before God as long we walk, you see, in God's way. As long we try to walk worthy, you see, as per the scriptures. You see, therefore, this justification is applicable to the new creature until they are in the flesh. Till when? From where to where? If you see, from the day of consecration, it will be till their death. Until death, they need to fight all these things and overcome all their weaknesses. Why God has given his justification? Because, you see, we need to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. While we are sinners, how can we offer to God an impure and a blemished sacrifice? Hence, God covers us with his robe of righteousness. And he makes it clean. Therefore, because of this, by faith, we are able to offer sacrifices to God. And this will continue until our death. So, by the time we die, we should actually, you see, be perfect in our mind, not in our, you see, actions. We can't be perfections in our actions. You see, we will be imperfect till our death, but we can overcome. You see, whatever mistakes we do, you see, that mistakes, you see, brings a spot on this robe. Now, what we have to do? Immediately, we go to the prayer, you see, go to the Lord, you see, and he's got a fountain with the blood of Christ, which cleanses us with all sins. And go and ask for forgiveness, all our sins will be forgiven. So, as long we are in the truth, we need to keep on wearing. You see, always keep this robe upon ourselves. If you remove it, what will happen? Read Matthew Matthew 23rd chapter, we read about a parable. You see, 23rd to 22nd chapter, sorry, 22nd chapter, we read a parable of the, you see, wedding of a king's son. You see, verse 2, Matthew 22, 2. Matthew 22, 2. Gopal brother, can you read?
Okay, brother. Matthew 22, verse 2. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son.
See, it is like a king who's made a marriage for his son. The king is Almighty God. His son is our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's preparing a marriage. So for the marriage, he invited the guest. Originally, who were invited, you see. But none of them came during the marriage. They all gave excuses, you see. So the king sends servants to bid them come for the banquet and eat good food. But each and every person began to give some excuses. So this is the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel was first given the call. But when the call was given, they neither came into the banquet, neither were they interested. They gave some lame excuses. What did the king do? You see, the king ordered to destroy the city. Read verse 7, brother. Verse 7, brother. Gopal brother.
But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city.
Destroyed the murderers. Say, burned their city. What murderers? In fact, they murdered all the servants whom they sent it, Simsa. You see, so God destroyed the nation of Israel in 70 AD. Then what happened? You see, then what did God say? Verse 8 and verse 9, brother.
Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage.
You see? So they went to the highways to bring as many as people who can come inside. Now what happened? Verse 10.
So these those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests.
So what happened when the highway call was given? Who all came in? Not only the good, the bad also came in, Simsa. The bad as well as the good. That means what? You see, they were interested in eating food, that's all. Okay. They were not much worried about the customs of those days. You see. So hence the bad, they were very only about eating the food. But what of the good? Good were disciplined. You see, they knew that they had to wear the robe and eat the food. And they have to wear the robe until they are in the marriage banquet. Only when they come out of the marriage banquet, only then the marriage is over, then they can remove this robe. What happened if you see, both good and bad came, it seems. That was the work of the gospel age. When the good news went from the Jewish nation to the Gentiles, all sorts of people came inside. You see, in other Bible, you see, we other you see in other languages, especially in Kannada, it says the lame, the handicapped. You see, that means the people who are not fit enough, they also came in ships. That means what? They could not walk, they could not work. You see, they could not sit properly. So these people also came in ships. That means what? Among all the people whom God has called in the Gentiles, not everybody are, you see, well off that they can walk correctly in another way. You see, they can't work properly to Christ, but yet they called for the banquet. Now, in those days, there was a custom. You see, they, especially these people who came in, they were all guests. You see, there was a custom that whenever, you see, a guest is welcomed into the wedding banquet, you see, the wedding host has to give a dress to the guest. So here also what happened, you see, the wedding guest were provided with a wedding garment. How do we come to know? Read verse 11. We'll come to know there. Verse 11, brother. What happened, it seems? There was one person who had taken off that wedding garment, which was given by the wedding host. Huh?
And when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment.
Ah, see, when the king came inside to see everybody, how they are, where they are, it was completely filled with the Gentiles. Everybody wearing the wedding garment. But one person, you see, was not wearing a wedding garment, it seems. That means what? Wedding garment was provided. You see, he was supposed to wear it. He was wearing it. But once when he began to eat and began to be satisfied, he has decided not to wear the wedding garment. What is the meaning of that one? You see, we are all Gentiles. We are not under the law. We are never justified. We are all filthy rags. All our clothes were like fig leaves withering away. So God, through Christ, has justified us, given us this beautiful robe and told them to come to the banquet. Told them to come to the truth. What is there in the truth? The feast of fat things, beautiful truth, strong truth, healthy food is there. As many people are eating this food, some people, it says a man, compared to so many people, it is a single man. That means there will be a single class of people who, after eating the food, who while eating the food, will decide to remove their wedding garment. That means what? Some people will listen to the truth, but as they listen to the truth, they don't show much interest in what? In consecration. You see, in vitalizing that robe of righteousness. That robe was given for what? For the guest to keep it permanently. Not only to eat the food and then throw it off. So you were supposed to keep it permanently. Similarly, you see, God justifies us so that we may consecrate. But once when the person decides that it doesn't want to consecrate, doesn't want to come to the knowledge of truth, just only listen to the truth, you see, it is like he himself taking off his robe. One verse is there in Timothy. Okay, I'll tell you. Anybody? Timothy. Second Timothy, 3rd chapter, verse 7. 2 Timothy 3, 7. Munna sister, can you read?
Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
You see, ever learning, never coming to the knowledge of truth. You see, what ever learning means? Always keep on attending the classes. Always keep on listening to the basic classes. Listening, 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 listening. Keep on listening. But never coming to the knowledge of truth. Never understanding the concept of truth. Never understanding the concept of consecration. The value of the robe. This robe is so valuable that it can make us to be the bright class. He doesn't realize. So what does he do? He removes his cloth. He decides in his mind that he doesn't want to go for consecration. So that is the time that justification ceases. So in this paragraph, our brother tells this justification is applicable since our consecration till our death. It is only at our death that we can attain original perfection. You see? We can't attain 100% perfection. Little bit of, you see, our nature will be there in us. You see, apostles, no? They were all very good, you see, human beings. But yet, they had a little bit of granules of some sorts of heredity which they were born in. You see, Peter was very spontaneous. John was very loving. Thomas was very doubting. James and John were very quick in doing the Lord's will. So many shortcomings will be there in us until today. But in our heart, we should be perfect. Read 1 Corinthians 15 chapter. First Corinthians 15 chapter. Joy brother, please read verse 42. 42, 43. First Corinthians 15 chapter 42 and 43.
Okay, brother. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power.
You see, it is sown in corruption. Until we die, the corruption will be there, only covered with a robe. Next, it is sown in dishonor. You see, don't expect respect everywhere. Then it is sown in weakness. Everybody has gotten weakness. That weakness will be there until we die. What did Apostle Paul pray to the Lord? He prayed to the Lord thrice for his weakness. What was the reply that God gave him? You see, I am made perfect in your weakness. I am made stronger when you are weak. You see, so until we die, this body will be covered in that robe. Only in the resurrection can we be perfect. Hence, we are God's little flock. 144,000 will be stars, but not all the stars will be equal. Read same verse, Gopal brother. Sorry, Joel brother. Read verse 41, brother.
There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory.
You see, one star differs from other star in glory. What is the star? Who are the stars? These are the biblical stars. Remember, we studied about Antichrist. Mostly you are all forgotten now. Revelation 12 chapter. A woman was standing completely clothed with, you see, sun, standing on the moon, having 12, you see, stars, a crown of 12 stars on the head. 12 apostles were shining as stars, you see. So these were biblical stars, dear brethren. We have a sports star, film star. Similarly, biblical stars, you see. So these stars were shining as beautiful in the, you see, church. So here it says, star differed from star in glory, but all are stars. That means what? All are of the divine nature, all of the particles of divine nature, but yet not all will be equal. You see, in their, you see, reward will be the same. You see, but there will be a little bit of gradations. Like, for example, now, once the lakh and 45,000 complete, who all will be there? In the lakh and 45,000, who all might come? Tell me. In lakh and 44,000, who all will be there? Tell me, as per your this one, who all will be of the lakh and 44,000? How? Tell me. Firmly, we can tell that few of the people will be there. Who all? Any guess who will be of the lakh and 44,000?
Apostles.
Very good. Apostles definitely will be there because they were the 12 stars on as a crown. Okay, next. Next, who might come?
Seven angels.
Very good. Seven angels, because based on the character, we very well clearly know that they will be of the lakh and 44,000. This is very good. 12 apostles, you see, and the seven angels. Next. Next. Tell me, after the seven angels, who can be there? Who might be there?
Ancient worthies.
Huh?
Ancient worthies.
I'm not able to hear. Our voice is very low, sister.
Ancient worthies.
Okay. What? I did not get you. Repeat again, sister.
Ancient worthies.
Oh, ancient worthies can't be of the little flock. Ancient worthies will be of the earthly resurrection. They'll get a better resurrection. They can't come to the heavenly salvation. We are speaking about the heavenly salvation, the lakh and 44,000.
Sorry, bro.
No problem, not an issue. So who else can be there? Any guess? Okay, Munna sister, tell me.
Faithful consecrated brethren.
Very good, sir. Faithful consecrated brethren. Very good. The brethren were consecrated to death. Okay. Now, let us take an example. Imagine all of you, all of us, you see, Ashish brother, Gopal brother, Joel brother, Munna sister, Amar brother, Romi sister, you see, everybody. If we are of the lakh and 44,000, how we will be? You see, we will be all sitting on the throne. You see, Heavenly Father will be there. You see, next to that one, Jesus is there. Next to that one, 12 apostles are there. Next to them, seven angels are there. Next to them, all the faithful consecrated will be there. And among them, if it is God's will, we will also be there. But how will our, glory be? How will our standard be? Will we be equal to the seven angels? Will we be anyway equal to Brother Russell? Tell me, see, all the lakh and 44,000 are there. Among them, you are also there. Now, can we be equal to Brother Russell?
No.
No. Okay. Now, can Brother Russell be equal to the 12 apostles, Apostle Paul? Can he be equal to Apostle Paul? See, the price is same. But can they be equal to Apostle Paul? Can a Brother Russell see Apostle Paul and tell, oh, what Apostle Paul you have done? See, I have done a lot of work. Lot of ecclesias have been established. See, lot of work have been done. I am living during the day of the Lord. So, a lot of publishing, a lot of work I have done. Will ever Brother Russell tell those things? Will ever such attitude be among the little flock?
No, brother.
No. Okay, now let us take one more example. Apostle Paul will be sitting and next to him Jesus will be sitting. Okay. Now will Apostle Paul look at Jesus and say, oh, I have overcome and I have sat next to you. I am also equal. Will ever Apostle Paul tell those things? Think.
No.
No. That is the meaning. They're all stars. But the glory is different. We, even though by God's grace, we are part of the little flock, we can never be equal to Jesus. We can never be equal to Apostle Paul. We can never be equal to God. You see, that is the meaning. Star differs from star in glory. Different stars are there. All the stars only. All are in heavenly salvation. All are of the divine nature. But there will be, you see, what do you say? Hierarchy, you see. Everybody will in the police department. But will there be any difference in the ranking? Yes. Commissioner will be there. Deputy commissioner will be there. Assistant commissioner will be there. Same way it is in the little flock. So hence, this justification to the consecrated brethren will continue to all the faithful class of people until they finish their course. Even when they finish their course, you see, that is the time that God actually makes them justified, actually makes them perfect. Okay? So, okay. Any doubts, any questions? Any doubts and any questions in today's class? Anybody? Oh, hope you all understood.
Yes, brother.
Okay.